Today is Monday, May the 13th, 2024. Welcome to episode 60 of Farm Wife Sexy Life with the Candy Couple. My name is Julia. My husband and I are a small homestead family in rural Southwest Virginia that work every single day to become less dependent on outside sources and burgeoning homesteading in frugality. And Farm Wife Sexy Life is an offshoot of our other podcast, Rural Reliance. If you haven't listened to that, we would really appreciate it if you give that a listen. Where we get together, we talk about issues we face in homesteading, frugality, homesteading and frugality, and just in general what we see happening. But Farm Wife Sexy Life is an offshoot of that, where I talk about being a female homesteader and the struggles that I feel like I personally see and face. And today I want to talk about, you know, learning to embrace your non-aesthetic homestead. I feel like the meaning of what homesteading is has kind of gotten a bit warped. Today, it's where you're 100% self-sufficient. You don't get anything from the grocery store. You don't buy anything. You don't go anywhere. And I don't know how many of those homesteads actually existed way back when. The goal is always just to reduce that dependency down as low as you could get. But if you think of our grandparents and their great-grandparents and their great-great-grandparents, at least in our area, there's no way they could have grown and produced all that they needed. And they had to outsource certain things, like sugar. Sugar doesn't grow around here. You can't barter for sugar. You can barter for some, we can grow sorghum. You can barter for that. But not enough people around here really grow it. And that wasn't what was grown way back when. At least not in my personal experience of family. When I listened to my papa talk about these stories. Because this is what his family did. So you would have to have some going to the grocery store for some things. So I feel like the actual definition of homesteading has gotten a bit warped. And now we see homesteads all over the internet, social media, on TikTok, on Facebook, on Instagram, and they look at like these pristine, perfect, beautiful homesteads with chicken coops with wallpaper and chandelier lighting and all of these things, and you're just like, I can never compete with this. You have Highland cows, you have the which is the new thing now. Now, when Aaron and I were starting homesteading, it wasn't the little Highland cow things. Or I guess that's what they are. I don't know. They look like pets to me. That's what they look like. They look like pets. That's what they are. They're very large pets. But what it was the Nigerian goats. That was the thing when Aaron and I were starting homesteading. Like, everybody had to have their miniature Nigerian goats. Oh, my word. It was the thing you needed to have on your homestead for you to be considered homesteaders. And it just seems like it keeps getting more expansive and bigger, and you see these huge houses, women who wear dresses all day, and they have time to feed the animals and go out and feed their, you know, bake their bread and do all of the things, and that's great and wonderful, but the majority of us don't have that life or luxury. And I'm always going to be real with you. And it is so hard to turn away from this. But there are things that you can do, and there are reasons you should embrace your non-aesthetic homestead. So I will tell you, I'm all about functionality over, you know, beauty any day of the week. What I love to, and I've said this before, I love to have the wooden, beautiful fence around my garden. I would. That was not practical. It was not cost effective. I was never going to get the material. We had a hard enough time sourcing the fencing alone to get that fence up, let alone trying to do everything else that we needed to do. It was an utter nightmare just getting the materials to get that fence up. Now, materials are a little bit easier to get now. I will say that back when we had to put that fence up, but I'm okay with the way it is. It's functional. It does the job. We've not had a deer problem in that garden since we put it up. So 4 years. No deer problems in that garden. When we have proper fencing up, we don't have deer problems. It helps. It takes care of it. It, you know, keeps the deer out of there. There's enough other food for them to eat. They don't need to come and eat my garden. So because it does its job, it works, I can maintain it, I can take care of it, I'm going to be able to use it to multiple functions because I have this, you know, area in between. We've talked about how we've deer-proofed our fence. We have a double fence in the back because that's where we are more likely to have deer, is in the back towards the woods versus towards the front. So we have a double fence, and it's about 3 to 4 feet wide. In some places, it might be a little smaller, might be a little bit wider. But because we already have the split-tip fence area, this will make a great chicken run for meat birds. I can probably get 15 birds through out here just to let them run, have a small coop, and kind of put some netting along the top to keep the predators from coming out from the top. It won't run into Aaron's head. I don't have to worry about any of that. It's actually going to work out really well. What I have to work on is getting the plants that we currently have protected, because we do have plants inside the fence, but that's not such a big deal. But it's not aesthetic. It's not pleasing to the eye. It's not this beautiful, curated place. Even my home, while a lot of people know that I just did a house remodel, I didn't do my house update for anybody but myself. I didn't do it for anybody but myself. I don't have a single, okay, I can't say single rug. I do have some rugs in the bathroom, the small bathroom. But in our bathroom, I actually use hand towels. I use the old hand towels because then when we're done with our showers, we just throw the hand towel in there to be washed. So much easier, so much more practical. It's not a rug. It gets tore up when you throw it in the washing machine. And I have a rug in the kitchen. And other than that, I don't have any large rugs. I do not have a rug in my living room. I don't have one in the bedrooms. We don't have anything like that. I have the same floor throughout most of the house except for the bathrooms. And it's a floor that hides dirt pretty easy. But it's also very easy for me to keep clean. I don't have to fuss with it. And I tried my hardest to keep it clean because I don't like walking on dirt personally. So, but I didn't want carpet when I updated the house. I built my kitchen to suit my needs, not anybody else's. I have family members that looked at me like, why are you wanting to do this? Why do you need so many cabinets and storage? Why is this important to you? Well, it's important to me because I like to have everything up. I don't like to have a lot of stuff out. I like to keep my life as simple as possible. I want to swipe and I'm done dusting. I've done wiping everything down. I want everything to be as easy as possible so I can do it a few minutes during the day and be done with it. But my house, it's pleasing to me. And yeah, there's a few things I want to update and add here or there. And I'll do that as, you know, time permits, as the cash flow permits. But it's not something that has to be done right now. But it's just a slow go. It's a very slow decorating for me. And I'm okay with that. But it's not aesthetically pleasing. And I really don't care. I don't really care that my house doesn't look like most other houses. My house looks lived in. And I feel like that's part of the problem. Like, these houses a lot of times don't even look lived in. And you see these on TikTok. Like, you can't even tell people live there. And you see this, I mean, everywhere. Like, does somebody even sit on the couch? Are they allowed to sit on the couch? I expect plastic to actually be on the couch. It looks so clean, so pristine. Whereas, you know, here, we're real. We live in our home. This is where we live every day. We're here every day. We spend all of our time here. And the home is made for us. And that's also part of the homestead. So, you have the homesteading Joneses is what I'm going to call it now. It's what it is. It's the homesteading Joneses. And it's now becoming a part of your entire property lifestyle. And let me tell you, it's really hard to find that perfect piece of property to do all these things that you want to do, if that's the way you want to go. Like, we have our property with 25 acres. I don't know, Aaron and I go back and forth. We at least 5 acres is really usable at the moment, probably 3 to 4 where it's actually really accessible for us. The others, we're not really sure, but the rest of it's wooded. So the majority of it's wooded, and that's going to make it very hard to really do anything with those pieces of property. We don't want to take the woods down. We would prefer to leave them. We live in the country. That's just part of living in the country. But the other issue is it's not flat. It's not flat at all. It might look like, oh, it's just a little hill. But once you actually start working it and you try to start flattening and leveling the land, it becomes an utter nightmare. We took 2 or 3 months to try to level out our garden. We got it pretty good, but I'm telling you, 4 feet down, and once we started hitting rocks, we knew we had to stop because we were hitting rocks that we couldn't break apart. We couldn't get apart. Aaron bought the tools to try to drill them to shatter them, and we took out a huge chunks of these rocks, and it still didn't come close to the size this boulder actually is. We couldn't even unearth all of it. So we realized really quickly that we were probably at our limit in leveling the garden. But we did enough that it makes it much more functional for us. It's not all on a gradient on a hill. It's a much more level piece. And it has helped the garden. So why is it so important to embrace your non-aesthetic homestead? So it's going to help you focus on the needs of your family in your homestead. You hear me harp on this so much because it is so freaking important, because I feel like all these people, they would say I'm not a homesteader. They would say you're not homesteading. You don't have the cows or the goats or anything like that. You don't have any of that. You're not homesteading. I am. I am working every day to reduce my dependencies on outside sources. I don't buy vegetables. I don't buy fruit because I grow the majority of them on my own. I have to buy bananas because I can't grow bananas. I can't barter with anybody here because nobody here grows bananas. It's not in our zone. But my little one needs bananas. It's what her favorite fruit. It's one I can consistently get her to eat. I'm working on creating strawberry patches so I can have my own freeze-dried strawberry patches. We're trying to get to where a lot of our things run off of solar power, so we're not dependent on an electric company. We're working every single day to get off of those dependencies, and that is what homesteading is. Homesteading is about creating options for yourself. It is not only about having the perfect house and the barn and the cow and the ducks and the donkey and the horses and all these other animals that I have a very strict rule when it comes to animals on our property. Aaron and I talked about this. And a lot of people might disagree, and might feel like I'm being a little harsh and a little rough here. But if it's not a working animal for us, we're not going to bring it on the property. We've had, with dogs, there's a lot of laws happening, even livestock guardian dogs. We have to be very careful. It is just like, it defeats the purpose of having that animal. If the laws are going to say I can't have that animal actually do its job that it was bred and raised to do, because a law went in place and said, no, that's not the job of that animal, and you need to do something different. The other thing is, for us, because we are a very predator-prone area, we have lots of coyotes, we have people see bears around through here, we have hawks, things like that. The animals that we do bring on, which are more poultry-based, do have to have, we can't just openly free-range them because they would be in danger. And for me, as somebody who's taking care of these animals, raising these animals, I feel like that's irresponsible of me, personally. This is my personal opinion for our animals, not anybody else. This is just me. And that for me to do my due diligence, I need to make sure they have a safe place to be, that they're not going to get attacked, they're not going to be hurt. So that's kind of how we look at that personally. And we, are setting up our systems to embrace that philosophy. Cats, we have another cat right now. The one we have, they're pets. They're pets. Patches isn't really a pet. She's more of a nuisance. She watches the mice. She doesn't actually catch anything. So if we have a cat outdoors, it's going to be one that's a working cat. We prefer an old barn cat that would catch the mice. Now, Patches does catch a few things. But other animals, not so much. I don't really see a point in horses and donkeys personally. And maybe I'm missing something. Everybody around who has ever had them that I, you know, personally, that I know of. My papa had a donkey and he had some horses. I don't remember them being working animals. I don't remember them doing anything. Just eating a lot. And for us, it doesn't make sense to actually bring those onto the property. Now, if you're somebody who loves animals, loves pets, well, that's okay. I'm not saying not to do what you want to do and what you love to do. For me and my family, that's not our homestead needs. Our homestead needs are making sure that we have, you know, the meat that we need for the year in the freezer. The other things that we need taken care of. I've got too much other work to do to deal with something else. there's so much other stuff to do. Building side hustles, building our own business. We're looking to do all of that. I don't want to add extra work into that where it's going to take away time from my family. The other reason why embracing your non-aesthetic homestead is important is because it's frugal. You're going to move at the speed of cash. If you want to make an update, save up the money and you do it with cash. You don't go into debt. You make sure you can pay for it. All these are important. Aaron and I are 100% debt free. We got this way because we worked really, really hard. Really hard. I mean, last year just about killed us. And we pushed and pushed and got through as much as we could. And yeah, the homestead kind of went on hold for a bit. And now I'm still trying to kind of get up from that. But we're making a lot of progress and we're moving in the right direction and setting up even better systems than what we had before. But any updates that we make to this homestead are done by cash and saving up those project funds and moving forward that way. So that's really always the goal here. So you're going to be saving more money, going slower, and making those updates as needed. So how do you learn to embrace what you have? I would say you practice gratitude. It's a big thing here. I am thankful for what I currently have instead of looking at what you don't have. I have no desire to have all the fancy homestead. I'm perfectly content with what I have. What I love more water. I would love a pond, but that's something that we've talked about we could possibly do. If we could get a spring house, that would be great. But we're looking at our property saying, what can we do to improve it now that's going to help us in the future? And trying to figure out how to make our property work better for us versus longing for a property that's outside of our budget that we would have to go into debt for or anything like that. Focus on the good. This is so important. Our property gives us so much. Our homestead gives us so much. I have thousands of fruit, you know, in the process of starting, I'm going to be bearing. I've got grapes that are right now looking so pretty. I've got my hardy kiwi plants. This is their first year. We're probably going to have some. It looks like we have apricots, plums, plum cots. We have all of this beautiful food that's coming from our homestead. We have chicks that are going to give us eggs here. We have all of these things it's going to produce and make us so much more self-sufficient, let you know, less reliant on outside sources. So we're really moving in the right directions. We're building things to make us even better. We're really thinking and putting mindfulness and thought into each and every update that we make. We're learning to make minor improvements that are going to make us so much better, whereas it's our fertilizing systems where we're going to be using, you know, that swamp water from David the Good. That kind of a system, or if, you know, anything that we're doing, we're looking to make it better. My gardening system, we made a few changes where we put the tomatoes in buckets. I did have a mistake. We'll have a video out on that. But for the most part, we're really doing pretty good and we're in a good place with our garden, but we've, you know, constantly making little improvements that are going to help make it even better. I learned to take the small wins. This is so important. So important. The little wins are so important. Don't look at just like, well, yeah, but now I need to, now we got to think of trying to add this, this, and this. Like, no, the little win. The little win is, it's a step forward. Even if you have to take 10 steps back, if you're moving forward and you're not just spinning on a wheel, and I know what that's like because I was like in that cycle for I feel like a year and a half, just spinning in a wheel and not going nowhere, you're to make progress. So learn to embrace the little wins. Learn to make, you know, learn to live the life for you and your family. It doesn't matter when anybody else says, in cases like this and this type of lifestyle, I almost feel like it's a curse. It's a curse to have all the information. Like, in some ways, it's amazing because you have so much access to find all the stuff that you need to know how to do and learn how to do. But then you have all the access to see all this other stuff that you're like, wow, I would love for my place to look like this. And how do I get my place to look like this? And then you're going down this rabbit hole and like, oh, wait, maybe I didn't need the donkey. The donkey doesn't really help my homestead very much. It's a beautiful, pretty pet, but maybe I didn't need this pet or the goats. I've heard a lot of regrets from goats. Lots of regrets from people who had goats. Like, yeah, I worry it's a fad. That's what I worry about. I worry about fads. So I'm very careful to make sure I put everything through the lens of how's it going to help me and my family before I jump into something for the homestead. But I want to make sure it's really a good move for us. Like the high tunnel, I do think that would be a good move for us. We've talked about high tunnels before. Our problem is making sure that we have a watering system, a self-catchment system, so that way we can make sure anything we put in there, we can water, because getting electricity, it's holding water, would be an utter nightmare. So these are just things we have to think about, but jumping on the Holly Cow bandwagon, is it for me? They're beautiful. They're absolutely beautiful. So I think they're one of the prettiest cows I've ever seen, but it also, all I see is how much work you have to put into it. But that's me. And I've learned to love my little homestead that's not really pleasing to look at and just sort of, it's ours. I think that's what it is. And when you're debt free and it's yours, man, it changes everything. It does. It changes how you look at everything, how you open your eyes, and just, man, you know what? It might not be what everybody else's cup of tea is, but for me, it's ours. We own it. Now we're going to make the best of what we got. So I hope this took some inspiration and helped you, you know, will help you kind of look at your homestead in a different light and really, you know, be thankful for what you have and the steps forward that you take. It's just always good to be reminded that what we have is good and God is good and He gives us, you know, what we need at the time. And as always, thank you for joining me off Farm Wise Sexy Life with Katie Couple, where we work hard, live simple, and enjoy life. Have a wonderful day.